everybody. It's Fresh Start Radio. It's the Dying Seed Radio Show. I'm Bob Noxious with my co-host, Bobby Pickles. This week, we have co-hosts in the studio. We have Fletcher Draghi, and we also have Justin Thirsk from Chaos Delivery Machine. What is happening, fellas?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's happening? Yeah, it's good. Good times here.
I'm here with Fletcher. It's real fun. It's been so far a really great time.
Yeah.
No arguing at all.
Fletcher, I followed your career vicariously for some time. It's a pleasure to talk with you. I got to say that my preconceived notions of speaking with you date all the way back to watching or listening to you create havoc on the Loveline studio. So I expect nothing but the same here for Dying Scene Radio.
Yeah, I don't feel like taking Justin hostage right now.
But I don't want to get puked on either.
But yeah, the puking part could happen.
You know, that's old news and stuff. We're looking to create some new memories here. Chaos Delivery Machine. Tell us about the band a little bit before we get into the show, because you guys are going to be co-hosting the whole night, so we got the whole night to talk about stuff. But let's talk real quick about the band. It's not really a new band. I said new band, but what, 10 years it's been together?
About 12 years.
And have you guys ever done a live show?
Not one live show.
I know we've discussed this the last time that we spoke, Justin, but come on, man. How about a live show? Make it happen.
That's a lot of work. It'd probably be more work than getting this recording session going today. And as you can see, we're technically inept as humans, so it'd probably be a really difficult task to complete.
Yeah, that's to be determined.
Well, what we'd like to do with you guys on this show is just to have you guys help us co-host. We're going to go through the week's news. We'll probably make some errors along the way. You know, just we'll correct ourselves as we go.
And I'd like to correct you. You just said the week's news.
And I know, that's what
news,
I said.
Right? So we're going to stay on top of you on our end, too. So I don't feel like going through the week's news, but if you want to go through the week's news, that's fine with me.
Well, speaking of nose, I did a lot of spray painting this week, and it got that crusty booger buildup in my nose. So, I mean, if you really wanted to go there, I could talk about it. Or we could just go ahead and kick off the week's news, man. Bobby, how's it going, dude?
Now, what's up, Bob? I got some news for you, man. Bob, Justin, Fletcher, can you dudes believe that 2015 is already halfway over? I mean, in the coming months, there's going to be a ton of new music. Frank Turner's got one coming out. Chaos Delivery Machine, you guys, Burn Motherfucker Burn, comes out today. And anyway, Dying Scene decided to put together a little introspective this week with a list of some of our favorite albums from 2015 released thus far over the last 6 months. So anything released between January 1st and June 30th was up for consideration. And after a long email chain, we narrowed it down to 25 records. Organized by release date, you could find our collective choices for the best punk albums of 2015 so far on dyingscene.com. Guys, I know it's not right to criticize the organization you work for, but fuck it. This is punk rock. Criticize everything. But why were we not included on this supposed long email chain, man? Good Riddance, Millencolin, Bad Cop even. You know, Teenage Bottle Rocket. Those are okay picks. But no Screeching Weasel, man. And yeah, right on that. Baby Fat Act 1 is an hour-long opus based on a freaking opera. And there's a libretto included, man. Someone didn't do their homework. I declare this list invalid, Bob. Fletcher, when Ben Weasel did the show, he lambasted damn near everyone in punk rock, but not one bad utterance was directed towards Pennywise, just so you know.
That's because I've threatened to beat the shit out of him.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I find that highly surprising that he had nothing bad to say about us, because we deserve bad sentences directed our way from Ben.
When he says we, he means Pennywise, not Chaos Delivery Machine.
Yes.
I wouldn't have included this story out of respect if he had said anything, you know? But Fletcher, would Chaos Delivery Machine ever consider writing like a punk rock opera or a concept album? Or is Burn Motherfucker Burn a concept album? Like,
yeah.
It kind of is. It has a beginning and a middle and an end. And when you hear the whole album from the first song to the 20th song, it's kind of a person going insane, basically, about the world.
You pretty much hate the world. If you're like a complacent couch potato that smokes a lot of weed, unlike some people I know.
That'd be me.
Like, you know, if you're just sitting there blind, deaf, and dumb, I pulled that from a lyric. Listen to this album, it'll pretty much wake you up, or at least like point out a couple obvious things that might have been slipping through the cracks for you. So it kind of is like a opus in a way.
Person. Our first album was called Manifesto, and that obviously has its own meaning, a person writing its own manifesto. And this was just another person's manifesto about what he thinks or she thinks is wrong in the world. And you go through his issues or his problems, some personal, but mostly social political problems. And then, as you can see, the last song, he kind of has had enough of it. He slowly but surely went insane because basically the world he was living in is insane, and the world we are living in right now, it is basically insane if you look at it day by day. If you read the news on Reddit or anything on Yahoo News, I don't care, and you see all the headlines of the shit that's going on in this world, it is absolute insanity.
Guys, can I interject here, man?
Yeah.
History is a lie. Religion is a control system. Money is a hoax. Debt's a fiction. Media is manipulation. Government is a corporation.
Bam.
There you go.
The system is an illusion. Wake up, motherfuckers. Right?
Burn.
That's
motherfuckers.
It.
Burn.
Burn, motherfuckers. Burn. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, man. 45 minutes is not too shabby, man. That's a long record for punk rock. That's awesome.
But it's not long when you think about, because we have 20 songs. So it's not that long if you have 20. For 10 songs, it would be long. Not for 20.
I was going to say,
that's
yeah.
still good. It doesn't matter. It's awesome.
It doesn't seem long. Put it that way. It seems nice and concise.
It seems like pure fucking ear torture to me. But other than that, it's pretty cool.
Fletcher, what was it like to produce a record that long?
It was pretty fun because when you're producing Chaos Living Machine, it's basically a license to just fuck with everybody involved. So our engineer / co-producer, Ian Peterson, he was on board, and then Justin and Jason, and that was about it. So I'm the biggest and the most obnoxious, so I was able to basically fuck with him the whole time, so it was pretty awesome. Ian paid me the compliment of saying I was the worst person he's ever worked with in his life. And I was like, no, that can't be true. He's like, no, that's fucking true. You're the worst boss person I have ever worked with. So I was pretty happy with that. Justin was punching walls, yelling and screaming at me. And yeah, I pretty much got my way in the end, so it was pretty damn fun.
Fletcher has a way of getting under people's skin and irritating it more than anybody. I mean, ask any one of his friends. They will say it. He has a way just to irritate the shit out of people. And the more he knows he's irritating you, the more he'll do it. So that's hard for me because he knows that he irritates me. It's a love-hate relationship, I guess you could call it.
I love to make him hate me.
I think I'm kind of the same way, man, because I do like the just the pleasure of just annoying the shit out of people.
Yeah, man, like me. You know what the big news is this week is that the new Chaos Delivery Machine record drops today. Like I said, Bob, we're joined by two of the Hermosa Beach punk trio right now, and they premiered a new video for their track Of Mice and Men this week. We played that on last week's episode. You can find that on DyingScene.com, of course, obviously. And fellas, this is your first album since 2005, Manifesto. Why has it been such a long hiatus between the two?
Because Justin's fucking lazy.
No, that's not really it. Well, me and Jason, it takes us a long time to get together because we have different jobs and different hours, and I like to spend a lot of time writing the good lyrics and writing lyrics that I like. I won't say they're good. That'll be for other people. That'll be for other people's opinions. I'll say lyrics that I like. And we weren't in a hurry. It's not like we had a record company breathing down our throat.
As in, didn't have a record company.
That's what I'm saying. So we got to do it the way we wanted to do it, and we knew we wanted to have at least 20 good songs. Plus, I had a little bit of a head injury that caused me to not play drums for about 2 years, and that kind of threw it for the loop. And life flies by, and you don't even know it's been fucking 10 years.
You think that this record can actually wake people up to the truth about what's going on in the world and stuff, and globalization and all that stuff?
I mean, if they take the time to listen to it, it's actually pretty hard to listen to because it's so gnarly. A lot of it's just so over the top sonically.
It's cacophony.
Cacophony, yeah. A bunch of shitty noise duplicated upon itself over and over. No, but I mean, like, if you're a fan of punk rock and like Peni and old school punk rock, you'll like the melodies and stuff. But and the lyrics are, to me, some of the most important things about songs. It's like the music's a delivery system, and the lyrics are what grab you at the end of the day, and the melodies, you know. So if you have half a brain and you read the lyric sheet or you listen to it enough to understand what he's talking about, then hopefully it wakes you up. I mean, I listen to it from time to time and I start getting immediately pissed off. Not like I'm already not pissed off enough about the government and fucking cops and blah, blah, blah. The list goes on. Priests, child molesters, the Catholic Church. It's all in there for you to kind of absorb.
Are you guys Catholic? Any of you guys Catholic?
I think I was baptized, but I'm not a practicing Catholic. Yeah. My dad was an absolute practicing Catholic, went to Catholic school his whole life, but then he absolutely fought against it, and he did an intro part to one of our songs called Gotta Pray about the priest problem.
Priest problem, and, yeah, raping children.
Yeah, yeah.
That one.
And he did a spoken word intro to it.
Which is really cool.
Hell yeah, it's awesome.
I went to Catholic school my whole life, but I never encountered a raping priest. Thank God for that.
Yeah, I guess you're right. One of the lucky ones.
You don't have to lie. It's okay, you're older now. You can come out and talk about it publicly. It's going to be all right.
And if that actually did happen to me, I would come out. I would talk about it, but it didn't.
That's good.
Nothing ever happened. I don't follow the Catholic Church either, though, but it's not because of that or anything. It's just because of what I said. It's just...
Control.
Yeah.
They try to think for you.
It's all the same thing, man. It's the universe, man. All religion is all the same reflection of the same thing, right? It's just the universe.
Yep.
That weed's kicking in, huh?
Hey, speaking of kicking something in, Bob, man, let's kick it into gear with some music, man. We've been talking for a long time. Let's throw some music on and then come back to this again, some more.
Tell you what, I got the brand new track right here from Chaos Delivery Machine. It's called Slipping Into Darkness. It's so hot, it's so fresh, I haven't even heard it myself yet. So we're going to go ahead and give this fucker a whirl right now, and let's check it out. This is Chaos Delivery Machine on Dying Scene Radio.
Pennywise and the Raft, you're listening to Dying Scene Radio.
Denver melodic punk rock band called All Out Helter, who have just released a follow-up to their 2013 debut album, Sinking, We Regress. This past week, on July 3rd, the new six-track EP called Ruins is currently only available digitally through their Bandcamp page, and the band anticipates a vinyl issue in the near future. Bobby, throw some more news at us. What you got?
Bob, I know you like those lists, those top 10 lists that we cover sometimes. So there was a new top 10 list this week.
I could care less, Bobby.
Yeah. Bob, the 10 kick-ass female-fronted punk acts you should be listening to. I'll tell you one thing. I agree with your sentiment. I could care less because Gash is on there and Not on Tour is on there, but there's no Svetlana's, Bob. One of our DS editors missed the boat, man. I'll criticize our website, Bob. I don't care.
Are you going to be a finger pointer?
Yeah, absolutely. Fletcher, did you guys ever once consider any females at all to replace Jim during his brief hiatus?
You know, that was a really fucking loaded question. I had a really good answer, but I'm going to stay away from it.
Did you guys ever once consider any female-fronted singers to front Chaos Delivery Machine?
No. No, okay. I mean, great singers. I just wanted to be the singer.
What are you talking about? Justin is a female.
Yeah, ha. Okay.
I mean, it's close to you get to a chick in the form of a man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See how you set that one up perfectly for me?
Yeah.
Good work.
No, but I love chick singers for bands. Some of my favorite bands, like Vi Squad and the Violators and everything. And I have a chick singing it on one of the songs. There's a back and forth between me and a chick, kind of like X. But I knew I was probably going to be the singer for Chaos Theory Machine. And I haven't gone the transgender route as of yet.
But basically, he acts like a bitch most of the time. And I mean that in the nicest way.
According to the Yeti.
Yeah. Can I say bitch, or does Kanye West have that coined?
I heard that Kanye West claims to be the greatest rock star ever. Yeah. Would you vehemently disagree?
I would have to respectively disagree with that.
Kanye West he's just a straight-up pile. Somebody needs to take him for a long walk on a short pier. As my dad used to say, like ASAP, and the whole Kardashian family as well. Wow, okay, it's out of his fucking mind. I think he must like getting shit on, because he keeps on coming up with the stupidest shit on the planet to say publicly, so he's definitely the greatest rock star of all time, in my opinion.
You want some more news, Bob, really quick?
Yeah.
All right, get ready, North America, and I say that in air quotes because they're playing most of the tour north of America. Good Riddance is trekking around the continent this fall on their first headlining tour in support of Peace in Our Time, their latest record, which was released back in April on Fat Records. They'll be joined by Off With Their Heads, and you can view the dates on Dying Scene. I'll save you some time, man. Check it out. They're basically playing all over the Northeast United States, from Mass to Maryland, Canada in its entirety, and then Seattle, Washington. So there won't be any touring by Chaos Delivery Machine. We just covered that, right?
Correct.
So... But,
not in 2015. You never know what 2016 might hold, but that's his stuff.
Justin, maybe you should go with another head injury and just forego the drums and become a full-on front man.
Yeah, but...
The head injury will make it better, though. That's
actually
what I meant by that.
His head injury did make him a little bit smarter, which is really rare for someone to have that traumatic brain injury and actually get smarter, but I guess stranger things have happened.
Sometimes a good jolt is all it needs just to put things back in line, you know?
Yep, good hit in the head. Tighten them up.
Well, you know, what is it, man? Your enemies stab you in the back and your friends stab you in the front. I mean, you guys banter back and forth just like me and my friends do, who have known each other for a long time. You just got to talk shit to each other and put each other down the best way you can.
It's called ball busting.
Absolutely. That's the only way. I mean, if you can't put somebody down, then they're not your friend, probably. If
they can't take it, you know?
Absolutely.
A couple, you know.
So how long have you guys known each other for, that you guys banter back and forth like this?
How long's it been? It's been like...
Since 1986. 1987. So almost 30 years.
What is it in the water down there in Hermosa Beach area, man, that spawned so much punk rock? Like...
Sewage.
I can't... What?
Sewage.
It's called the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah, the Pacific Ocean's full of oil spills and sewage, and we all go swimming in it, so I think that must be the common denominator.
Hell yeah, man.
Do you guys ever go swimming into the Pacific? I was in L.A. on some beach. I was like on some beach like in L.A., and it didn't look like something I wanted to go swimming in. I think it was a beach. I think it was the Pacific.
Yeah, that's all right by our house. It's okay, I think. I mean, as okay as it could be. We're right by Chevron Plant, which basically has ships right out there, but it's...
And then there's a waste... what do they call it?
They call it a scatter good. But it's a shit plant that this
pumps
puts all
it
your
out.
Shit and just pumps it out somewhere in a tube.
Yeah, otherwise known as a pipeline.
Yeah.
That shit's got to go somewhere.
There's a surf spot called Shit Pipe.
Yeah.
And it literally, like, the wave breaks on top of this huge pipe that pump shit out in the ocean. So,
and it made a reef. It made like a little bit of a fake reef, I guess you could say.
Yeah, so it's pretty awesome down here. But for some reason...
Why don't you have a song entitled Shit Pipe? There should be.
Remember Shit Pipe?
That'd be good, yeah. That just made me remember.
We have another thing about Shit Pipe, but...
that's
a whole nother story. But yeah,
no, it's a good story. I'm going to tell it. It's pretty weird. Like, we were smoking hash, you know? We were taking, like, bucket hits of hash at his mom's house, like, 20 years ago, maybe 25.
No.
And we were super high. Yeah, it wasn't.
It was not that long ago.
All right, whatever. 15 years ago.
Okay.
Fuck. We, like, drove up to the market to get some food or something with a couple people, and we had his pipe, and I think we were smoking in the car. We had, like, a hash pipe. And for some reason, I was like, I don't know why. I just wanted to like hide the pipe in the front seat of the car. We pulled up in the parking lot.
We were all paranoid and high as hell, basically.
Yeah. So I saw this rag on the ground, looked like a gas station rag, and I wrapped the pipe up real quick and threw it in the front seat. And then we got back to his house, and he opened up to get his pipe. There was a piece of like human shit like wrapped around it, like molded around it. And he's like, you put fucking shit on my pipe? You put shit? I'm like, no. And he's like, you fucking put a piece of shit on my pipe? You fucking asshole. You fucking shit pipe. And like, so it was like we were laughing so hard because I was trying to explain like it was a total accident. I guess somebody had like taken their baby shit and like just thrown it out the car window in the parking lot in like a rag, you know? Yeah. And it was like molded. He's like, you fucking molded it around my pipe. Because when I grabbed it, it like molded to it. So. He didn't believe it was on accident, but it really was. So
it was not a good high. It was not a good hash high.
He got shit pipe. Yeah. So we got lots of shit pipes down
from
there.
From that point, and that is the story of how it became known as smoking that shit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You got high on that shit. That's not to say that I haven't put some actual real shit on him. Occasionally, he's gotten a handful here and there, but that's a whole other segment.
Someone's tried at some point. You know that. Someone figured out whether it worked or not.
What do you mean, man? Cheech and Chong, they smoked their Labrador's shit. You remember?
Wow.
That's right. Labrador.
Bob, music maestro, please. Let's take it away, man.
Cool, man. Let's get into some more new music right here. This one right here is from a band called Sketchy, and they're from Brooklyn. There's some, it's pop punks, which you call yourself pop punk, I think it's sketchy. But it's actually a pretty cool track, man. They're streaming it. It's called Welcome to New York, Fuck You. The song is from the group's two-song single that is set to be released today. Neither of the songs will be on Sketchy's upcoming album, but it'll be out later on this summer. We'll keep you posted as the details emerge. You can check it out right here on this fucking website. This is Sketchy on Dying Scene Radio.
Listen to Dying Scene Radio. This is Paris. Rock on.
Separate us, never can find.
was not brand new stuff, but it's brand new to the Fat Records camp. That was Pears doing their brand new, well, I keep saying brand new, but it's a damn year old. It's called Breakfast. It's from the record Go to Prison, and it's coming out, what, I think this week? It's out this week? I have no idea. But they are the latest band to take the punk rock scene by the balls and refuse to let go. Anyway.
So, Bob, what is that about? You played the Pears song, and that's off the record they already recorded, but Fat Records re-released it, right? Or
That's the deal. It's what they recorded as, I guess, their demo. They put it out. They got their name out there. They hit the road, and, you know, here they are. Fat picked them up. They're putting out a new record eventually soon, but they re-released that one just to put the Fat imprint on it. Fletcher, you got some history with Fat Mike, don't you?
Yeah. I mean, we've known those guys for ages. When we first got on, Pennywise first got on Epitaph, they were just doing, I think, SNM Airlines. They were just recording that. Or they just recorded it, I think. And we've hung with them for years. They're super good guys. Played a bunch of shows with them over the years. And you know how it is. Like, there's certain bands you really click with that kind of think the same way you do. And they're definitely one of those bands. They don't take life too seriously, especially Fat Mike. And he doesn't really give a fuck. You know, he's not poor. He's had some great albums on Fat. NoFX has done really well. But he's just one of those guys that just doesn't really give a fuck about what people think about him. And that's kind of my procedure, too. Like, I'm just going to do my thing. If you don't like it, get the fuck out of the way.
It's a big world. Go like something else. So that's the way that they are, right?
Yeah, they're just kind of like, you know, they're just having a good time. And they know how to do it right. You know, they're not all businessed out and trying to be a professional band. They take it just as unserious as we do, you know? I mean, they're getting drunk every night before they get on stage. It's kind of rare. Like, we've toured with a lot of bands, you know? Yep, a couple people have a couple beers, but a lot of bands go out there sober, and we've always been known for being at least like a 3 out of 10 minimum, if not a 10, when we hit the stage. So it's always fun to be out there partying with those guys. You know, Bad Religion, they're pretty much sober when they go out. So great guys, cool, but I'd much rather be drinking a couple bottles of vodka with Fat Mike before going on than talking about dinosaurs with Greg Graffin.
Oh, you know what I want to talk about? I saw a video where you were talking about how you, or no, it was the Jason Ellis show, and you fill up a Pringles can with some kind of liquor, and that's what you use to drink in festivals and stuff? Is that right?
Well, just pretty much everywhere. I'm pretty big, so if I make a drink in a regular keg cup, I drink really fast, too, so it's gone in like 5 seconds, so I needed something bigger, so I started grabbing like coffee pots or whatever I could find to drink out of. But Pringles cans were always available.
Bob, this is the most perfect thing ever. Listen, even though I'm up in New York City, I'm from Florida originally, the redneck beaches of Florida. And God damn it, that would go so well down there, right, Bob? Having a fucking Pringles can out there on the beach. Man.
Yeah, I was at the beach over the weekend. The salt residue in the Pringle can made the White Russians even better. Well, that's what he started with.
It really didn't. I mean, the salt, it's the salt. But, like, the thing is, it's a Pringles can. It's foil-lined, so it's waterproof, and it's got a lid. So you make your drink, throw the ice cubes in, and you shake it up, and then you go wherever you want to go. And security guards are never looking for a Pringles can, especially, like, a fat dude carrying a Pringles can. They're just like, okay, there's a fat dude with Pringles. Like, they're not thinking there's, you know, a quadruple White Russian in there. And so that's just been, and we always have like a couple cans of Pringles on our rider. So, you know, if you come back and you find the Pringles poured out on the table, then you know that it's going to be a long, hard night of drinking because I already got my can working. So it works pretty good. Gets a little chewy at the end, like on the cardboard, but no issues, man. Cops don't know what's up. Fucking security doesn't know what's up. It's all good.
Do you do anything with your rider that's famous, like how Van Halen did this with the brown M&Ms? Do you do anything with, like, absolutely no salt and vinegar Pringles? Anything like that? Whether you eat the fucking Pringles or not, do you have anything on your rider that makes them know that they're paying attention?
No, nothing. I mean, I guess we got, like, a couple bottles of Grey Goose, bottle of Jack, a couple bottles of wine, like 5 cases of beer. And, I mean, basically you walk in, and that's what I'm looking for. I'm not worried about the fucking deli tray. I'm not going to go hungry, so I just say, where's the vodka?
And where's the fucking wet bar?
Where's the vodka? Where's the ice? And what kind of mixers do we got tonight? So, yeah, we're not one of those bands. You know, we just kind of take what we get. And half the time, promoters are cutting the rider anyway. So, you know, we couldn't find this, we couldn't find that, so we got you this. And we're pretty easy about it, you know? Deli tray and alcohol, it's all we need. A bag of Doritos and a couple cans of Pringles, and we're golden.
And about 5 pizzas afterward.
Yep. Ramon style.
For sure. Bobby, let's take a moment and go fill that fucking Pringles can up, and let's play some music right here, okay? I got some stuff right here from a Massachusetts-based punk band called Stiletto Bomb, featuring Jay Prozac of the Prozacs. They've announced that they will be releasing their debut EP, In the Dark, this coming week on July 13th through Mooster Records. You can listen to the two tracks from the EP by clicking through on Dying Scene and pre-order through the label's website, moosterrecords.com. Here it is, Stiletto Bomb doing an Amp Grinder. Rah, Dying Scene Radio.
You could probably make a bomb out of a Pringles can.
Oh, for sure.
From Gash, and you're listening to Dying Scene Radio.
Yeah. Blag the Ripper representing the dwarves, and you're tuned to the sounds of Dying Scene Radio.
Dying Scene Radio!
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, greetings. I'm trying to summon up my best Russian accent, but I failed miserably. We have the Svetlana's on the phone. This is Olga and Dist, correct?
Correct.
Dista. Correct. Olga.
Dista. See, now, Bobby, you gave me the mispronunciation. Thanks a lot there, dude. So you guys are joining us via the internet. From where are you at in the world right now?
We are in Milan, Italy.
Milan. So you've kind of taken refuge in Milan after your home country has left you for cold, left you for dead, considered you enemies of the state. What's life like in Milan these days? It's got to be beautiful.
Oh, yes. It's very hot, actually. Summer is always hot here.
Now, do you guys get down to the south of Italy? Why did you decide to live in the north as opposed to the south? Do you guys not like being around all those Toronis?
Probably because it's closer to Moscow.
Do you guys ever make it back home frequently, being that you're enemies of the state?
Olga is the real Russian one. She can't really go back home anymore. And by the way, you know, being in this band together, we are not allowed to go back in Moscow and Russia in general.
Right. And how does that make you feel as far as, you know, seeing your family and those that you left behind?
Now I'm okay because I don't won't come back in this moment.
Can I ask you a question, Olga? Can you explain exactly what happened? You started the band, and then what happened? Now you're not allowed to be back in Russia? Take me through it like I'm a child. Like, I don't know anything.
My mommy, when I was very young, moved in Italy. She's married now with an Italian man. She escaped from Russia for political issues and for problem with my Russian father. Now I live in Italy, and I know these guys, and we formed a band.
So you guys are actually Italian, right?
No, you were from Italian.
Well, you've lived in Italy since you were a child, since you're a bambina.
11 o'clock, 11 years, 11 o'clock.
She was 11 years old when she came here.
Okay, awesome. So you guys are out of Italy, and you've formed the Svetlana's. Tell me how you hooked up with Blag Dahlia. He's producing you guys now, right?
Yes, he produced Naked Horse Rider.
How did you come to meet Blag?
We have a common passion. We love dwarves, real dwarves.
Would you do a dwarves video in full nude if he asked you?
I'm sorry, that's Bobnoxious. Just being Bobnoxious. You don't have to answer that.
Hey, so I was watching this video that you guys most recently put out for I Must Break You. And so you basically make an old man cry and you pistol whip a much younger man. And I would have thought that there were better torture tactics to breaking someone. Is carrying a pistol commonplace for folks in Russia?
Do they hear us?
I think they have us muted. Hey, Svetlana's, can you hear us?
They got sick of us, man. Your question did it.
Well, this is awkward. Did it again, Bobby. I've offended another.
You have, you son of a bitch. I wish I knew more Italian, man.
Hello?
Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hey, pronto. Vieni qua.
you sound great. I love your Italian accent.
Yes, thank you very much. Hey, would you like a cafe?
Espresso, please.
Oh, my God. I have family in Italy. I have family in San Lorenzo Maggiore in Benevento, Campania.
Why?
So what?
it's
down in the middle of nowhere. They're goat herders. But it doesn't matter. Anyway, where do we leave off? You guys, we were asking you about Blag. My friend Bob Noxious here asked an incredibly obnoxious question about being in a dwarves video naked. And would you ever do so, Olga? I apologize for that question. He's an idiot. I don't think you have to answer that if you don't want to. Do not be offended.
I also asked about, you know, whether there were better torture tactics rather than pistol whipping somebody.
Rip his head.
Okay, como se dice? You know what? These questions aren't going to work now. I prepared for a Russian band, and you know, I was going to ask you if you have holidays where you blow shit up, like our 4th of July just went by. But I know that in Italy, you blow shit up all the time. They have huge bombs. They detonate stuff on New Year's. I've been there for New Year's, Bob, and they blow shit up all the time in New Year's, man. It's crazy. Okay, so Black produced you guys, and you guys are going to be playing the Warped Tour now. Is that right?
Yes, correct.
Where are you guys going to be playing the Warped Tour? You're not going to be doing all the shows. I heard you have some tickets that you're going to be giving out. Is that right?
Yeah, it's correct. We have a contest to give free tickets for the Warped Tour stops where we play. We will basically do the last 7 shows of the tour.
Okay, so what shows are those? The last do you know, Bob? Do you know what the last shows are?
I'm looking at their tour itinerary, and it looks like they're starting July 22nd in San Antonio, Texas.
Okay, that's the Warped Tour. We start the Warped in July 29.
Bob, that's not the Warped Tour, Bob. July 29th,
gotcha.
Bob.
I see it. Hey, I'm just looking at their other dates, too. They're doing a run through Texas, and then they're picking up the Warped Tour July 29th in Indiana. And they're doing a bunch of dates that runs mid-August. You got some dates on your list. And then you're heading over to London to a festival over there. What's the festival you guys are playing over there in August, late August?
It's Fuck Riding Fest. It's called Fuck Riding.
Now, there's so many fests these days and summer concert packages. I'm not really familiar with this one. Can you explain what Fucked Fest is?
It's an independent festival, really DIY festival, probably, I would say.
Do you play a lot of festivals in Europe?
Yes, some Italian festival, but they are very little.
Do you ever play in the south?
We never played in the south of Italy.
Oh, my God. Why do northern Italians snub their noses at the southern Italians so much?
Oh, why? I'm from the south.
where are you from?
Sicily.
Sicily?
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. So we got some good Italians. How long have you been playing punk rock music, Olga? How long have you been singing punk rock?
With Svetlana's, we played since 6 years ago. But I listen and I'm in the scene, in the punk scene, since I was a kid.
Nice. And how is the punk scene in the north of Italy?
I usually say that the scene is obscene here because there is really no scene anymore.
No scene, right?
That's
yeah.
But in Russia, we have a very big scene.
You do?
Yes.
Now, how do you have a punk scene in Russia when, well, bands like Pussy Riot get jailed for playing their music and whatnot? I thought that the punk scene in Russia would be non-existent because of that.
That's why they can't go home, Bobby.
I think there is an underground scene. A secret scene.
Yes.
Where people can say and sing whatever they want.
Club bands too in Russia. And they are very violent and they are very good.
What are some of the Russian bands that are kind of part of the underground scene there that have made a name for themselves and created a scene, a true underground scene?
Purgen.
Organ?
Yes.
Do they have any recorded music? Do you know?
Yes.
Yeah, they do. They still do.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's a 90s... band. I mean, they formed in the 90s, I think.
Now, what kind of music did you guys grow up listening to that influenced you down the punk rock pathway?
I don't know. I started to listen to the Ramones when I was 10 years old, and I grew up with hardcore music, American hardcore music like Black Flag, Circle Jerks, all these kind of bands, Suicidal Tendencies too. And
nice.
Then I found out we had an Italian hardcore bands in Italy too. I would say Wretched was the best band.
Yes, absolutely.
And Negazione was a cool band too.
Negazione?
Yeah, right.
We got to check some of these out.
We will definitely check them out. You know, my co-host Bobby Pickles over there, a lot of times during the show, he gets very political. Now, one of the things that we had here on our Independence Day here in the States, there was a couple of Russian planes that were intercepted near U.S. territory. How much do you think Putin was involved with that? Are you guys aware of that story?
I didn't hear about that, but I'm sure he was involved for sure.
You know, I think he's kind of calling our president Obama, you know, kind of a pussy. Wouldn't you think so?
You mean now, in these days?
Yeah, he's challenging us. He wants us to come and do something, so.
He's challenging everyone every day.
Now, do you guys get political in your lyrics?
Not really political.
We are against dictatorship. We are against the Russian government now. But the lyrics are not only political.
You guys have your record out, Naked Horse Rider. It just came out in May on Altercation Records here in the States. I saw you did a 7-inch earlier this year with Agent Orange. Was it Agent Orange I saw? Who was it that you guys just did a 7-inch with?
The Adolescents.
The Adolescents. Why did I say Agent Orange? The Adolescents. How was that?
I like Agent Orange too. Okay,
maybe the next time we can do a 7-inch with Agent Orange too, if you want.
So, yeah, absolutely. Can you do that for me?
Okay, yes,
I will.
Sure.
That is awesome. Promise, you're going to pinky swear, right?
Okay.
What's your relationship like with Altercation Records? Do they work for you guys well? Do they get the word out?
They work very well with us. And I hope we will work very well with them too. We met them how many years ago? It was
I don't know, but
4 years ago.
See, it was our first tour in the USA, and we met one of the two guys, Travis.
How did you guys break in to the international music scene, like breaking into the States? Did you guys come over and play a bunch of CD clubs, or did you kind of come across, you know, international lines with a little bit of hype behind you?
Well, Bob, you have to speak slower, and you have to enunciate all your words when you're speaking with Italians, okay? Because I have Cugini, and that's what you have to do. All right, Bob? So just slow it down.
Can you just translate for me, Bobby?
No, I can't. I cannot speak Italian. I wish I could speak Italian better.
Can you translate for me too, please?
What song would you like us to play on the show?
I Must Break You, I think, would be the best.
So I can hit the public.
We have already played that song before. Is there a new one that we can play?
Yeah, Tinky Winky.
Now, is that a nod to a Teletubby?
No, it's when you're peeing, Bob. You're taking a Tinky Winky.
See, the Tinky Winky that I know, I think is the yellow Teletubby. I'm not for sure on that, but I think Tinky Winky was a Teletubby.
Yeah, the purple Teletubbies. You know, that's why we wrote that song. I mean, I think it was hilarious that Pussy Riot looks like Teletubbies.
Now, my question is actually for Bob. Bob, why do you know what the purple Teletubby's name is?
I told you I thought it was the yellow Teletubby. I don't know what the purple Teletubby's name is.
Bob,
I have children.
You knew what the Teletubby's name was.
Two reasons. One, I have children. And two, I am a big fan of the show. Don't judge me.
I thought food is out of my clit. Now my dreams have to be thick. I got arrested because I protested against the Soviet regime. Want to put on your show. Now I'm body in the snow. Probably like adding because I was wearing a Tinky Winky ski mask. Shit, I am the one. It's gonna rip you with a gun. Now you think you're having fun. Fuck you and die. I show my teeth to the mob. Don't touch my nipples, crazy cop. I'm a felon, armed with hymen, fighting my daily cold war. Fuck the shit, I am the one. Gonna rip you with a gun. Now you think you're having fun,
I'm Holger from Svetlana. You are on Dying Scene Radio.
Good morning, dipshits. It's gotta suck to be a working stiff. You're not the sucker with a 9-to-5.
miserable. Take a tip from me, just say fuck them all. Fuck your fucking 9 to 5. I don't need that shit to survive. I'd rather drink and smoke and piss away my life than be stuck in a rut just so I can buy more stuff. Fuck your fucking cubicle. Unemployment fucking rules. Sleeping in and drinking lots of booze. Yeah, you wish you were me. Fucking up and living free. Nothing and I'm feeling fine. Sweetheart's gonna party every single night. So take your fucking ear off of your cell phone. Nobody wants to hear about the bottom line. No wonder you're so fucking miserable. Take a tip from me and just say fuck them all. Fuck your fucking 9 to 5. I don't need that shit to survive. I'd rather drink and smoke and piss away my life than be stuck in a rut just so I can buy more stuff. Fuck your fucking cubicle. Booze and you wish you were me. Fucking up and living free.
That's new music from the Chicago punk band called the Suzos. It's called Fuck Work. I think we can all relate to that. According to the band, the video for Fuck Work was written, directed, and edited by the Suzos themselves, filmed by some high school kid, and features the on-screen debut of famed producer Matt Allison of Alkaline Trio and Masked Intruder fame. Be sure to check out the official video on DyingScene.com, and that track right there was pretty cool. Also in that set, Svetlana's doing Tinky Winky, song about, what do you call those things, Bobby?
Teletubbies, Bob. You knew what it was, by the way, so don't try to play like that, all right?
Whatever.
And I believe you knew which one it was, right? You knew it was the purple one. You knew
I said it was the yellow one.
Okay.
So come on, please. And then also in that set, No Fun, the German garage punk band, who premiered a new music video for their song Ode in Die Freud. I have no idea what that means, but it's taken from their new upcoming album, How I Spent My Bummer Vacation, which will be released on September 18th. Way out there, man. September 18th. Let that sink in. On Concrete Jungle Records. Pringles cans.
Yeah, Pringles can. Guys, we just talked to the Svetlanas just now. They're a band, I think they claim to be from Russia, but they actually are from Italy. Have you ever heard of these guys?
I have not.
I haven't heard of them, no.
I've heard the name, but I haven't heard them.
Their latest record, which you can't find anywhere, except for Interpunk, was produced by the Dwarves Black Dahlia.
It's a
pretty happening record, and pretty cool folks, too. So we just spoke with them, and good luck to them. They're on the Warped Tour.
Wow. Have you guys heard of a Siberian Meat Grinder?
No, man. Is that... Are they out of Russia?
It's legit. I'm not sure where they're actually from, but they're European, obviously. And I just got a video from them today, or someone sent me a link today. It was fucking awesome. So if anyone gets a chance to check them out, check it out. They're insane.
We'll find that ourselves and post a link on our Facebook page. Say it came highly recommended from Fletcher.
Yes.
According to a recent post on guitarist Steven Egerton's Instagram page, and that's the kind of quality journalism you guys may expect from Dying Scene, covering news off people's Instagram pages. The Descendants are back in the studio to continue recording their long-awaited new album, which has been in the works for quite some time. The currently untitled record will be the band's first full-length in over a decade, serving as a follow-up to 2004's Cool to Be You. No further details are available, but we'll keep you posted on more info on the album as it comes to light. Bob, the picture in question is of the inside of a trash barrel with a bunch of empty chocolate bar wrappers at the bottom, and the caption reads, Descendants Recording. Guys, I find that munchies go hand in hand with the creative process, Fletcher, Justin, do you agree, man? I mean, if so, what's your favorite creation-inducing munchy food?
White Russian.
Other than Pringles.
I don't know. Cheetos. I like Cheetos.
It's Pringles. It's Pringles. I could have answered that question. I shouldn't even asked it.
In the studio, yeah, it's basically any kind of chip you can get your hand on. Like, whatever somebody brings in is getting devoured. That's it. Just chips. Eating chips. Gets the creative juices flowing and beef jerky from time to time.
And we had those bowls.
What bowls?
I don't know. Beef bowls or something from that place.
Now, are they organic chips? Because they're trying to take us over with the pyramid, man. With the food pyramid.
Fuck that. No, we're going straight greasy Lay's. None of that baked shit, healthy shit. That's fucking overrated and poisonous, probably.
You're right. It probably is. I mean, all these independent farmers. I mean, what are those independent farmers doing? You know, they could be getting shit out of a shit pipe and using that as fertilizer. And we don't know. Right.
Typically, fertilizer is shit. Just so you're clear on that for future. But yeah, I mean, who knows? Organic shit. It's I don't know. I'm all for like free range chickens and pigs, like running around having a good time doing what they do versus growing up in a fucking cage their whole life. That's really disgusting. Factory farming is super fucked up. But you don't really know what you're getting at the market these days. You're just getting something in a package, and now they're trying to take the labeling off of it. You know, everyone's fighting, so we can't even know if we're eating a fucking genetically modified food, which is totally insane. It's like, yeah, us rich people want to deprive the human race of their right to know what they're eating so we can put whatever the fuck Monsanto sells us in your food. It's fucking ridiculous. Our government's out of control. Chaos delivery machine will point you in the path of righteousness.
That's right.
How's that for a rant?
Let me crowbar in some more news. Lagwagon frontman Joey Cape has announced a 1 week records fall North American tour featuring artists such as Laura Marden, KJ Jansen of Chicks Dig It, Walt Hamburger, Brian Wallstrom, Betty and the Boy, and Joe Bergeron. Check out the list of dates and locations on DyingScene.com. 1 week Records is Joey Cape's newest endeavor. He brings musicians into his home studio for 1 week to record stripped down, honest versions of 10 of their tunes. Guys, this sounds like an interesting concept. How many weeks, again, did it take to record Burn Motherfucker Burn? And
two.
It only took 2 weeks?
No.
Too many.
We took a bunch of breaks in between because my voice kept on going out.
Actually, Pennywise went in the studio and kicked him out because we decided to record our last album yesterday's, and Justin got really mad, but we said, you have to step aside.
Well,
you
got a
little
mad.
You got a little mad at the beginning.
I actually didn't.
But yeah.
I didn't. This is untrue.
The last record we recorded in 3 days. What'd you do? Drop your weed?
I got it right here.
We recorded the last record like 20 songs in 3 days, and this one was more like about a month of actual recording
probably
time.
The actual recording time was probably, a month.
So yeah. It was a lot more thought out. It was a lot more manipulated. We obviously tracked it like raw, but then we went back and, you know, did vocals and fucked around a little bit more. And it was pretty cool. I mean, it was worthy of extra time, like actually almost like a real record. And his drumming skills were a little rusty on this one, so we had to do a couple drumming takes, I think.
Yeah.
He hadn't played drums in 10 fucking years, so it was awesome.
No, I did. I played drums. But
Justin, when you were done with the recording, though, did you feel good, though, with the drumming and everything like that? You got it?
Oh, absolutely.
You got it back?
Yeah, I was stoked.
Going back to the briefness here, though, I mean, I know a lot of bands like to keep the recording process kind of brief in order to maintain some of the punk rock imperfections. Fletcher, do you ever use this sort of tactic when you're producing music for Hardline Entertainment or Viking Funeral Records? I know that's another endeavor you have, correct?
Stripped down recording. Honest. We did that with Chaos Delivery Machine. Like, basically, I heard Justin and Jason's songs, and I appointed myself the bass player and producer of the band because I loved the shit. And he was like, well, wait a second. I'm like, no waiting. I'm going to play bass and produce. So the first time around, we just literally hammered it out. I mean, 20 songs recorded and mixed in like 3 days is pretty fucking unheard of. And it sounded pretty good. And I think, for me, I think that's when you get the best stuff, is when you just strip it down, when you don't have to think about it. I know, like Pennywise, when we're recording, if we can go in not caring, doing a demo and just bang through shit, the vibe is always insanely good. When you start overthinking, you know, worrying about the tempo and the pitch on the vocals and the guitar overdubs, it starts to lose something. And I think that's pretty much the case with all bands nowadays. Like, everyone's held to the standard of, it's got to be in tune, it's got to be perfect. And you go back and you listen like Dead Kennedys or like The Misfits. And like Misfits is fucking out of tune. Horrible recording. Every single song sounds different. But they all sound insanely great in their own way. And they have a vibe. And I think what happens when you overproduce, you start killing off the charm and the honesty of it. So definitely down with that. I mean, I don't think this Chaos Living Machine is overproduced by any means. I think it's still pretty stripped down. We didn't go overboard. But we definitely took more time just to get it right because it's a really good record. And instead of like putting out and having people go, oh, the sound quality is mediocre. Like, we want it to sound good to translate well. So, yeah, I'm all for stripped down fast shit, but this one took a little more time.
I was going to ask you, since you had produced, you did produce the record, right, you said?
Yeah, I produced it, and Ian Peterson co-produced it, a guy that works at our studio. So he gets some credit, too.
Did he have more of the job of making sure that you weren't too hypercritical of your own stuff? Because I was going to ask, if you're producing your own stuff, when do you decide that it's good enough?
Oh, my shit's always good enough.
No, he thinks his bass playing, there's not one thing wrong with his bass playing. And if he ever screws up, it's your fault because I did a roll in the wrong place or something.
Yeah, and if you say you don't like it, I just say, no, you're wrong. You're wrong. It's perfect. Move on. Yeah. So, yeah, Ian.
But when I sing a line, it's always wrong, and I'll have to do it over again. And
well, that's what producers are for. Yeah. It's just, it so happens that I play bass in that band, and the bass is the loudest thing on the album, too, rightfully so.
And it should be. Put the bottom on top. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah, so Fletcher, have you played bass in any other bands outside of this one? I know you're primarily known as a guitar player in Pennywise. Have you always been a bass player at heart, or do you just do it for fun?
Actually, I started off as a bass player. Like, when I decided to start playing music in 1980, I had a buddy. He was shorter than me. I was like the tall, lanky kid before I got all the free beer and got fat. Bass players were like tall, lanky dudes. So I was a bass player, and he was a guitar player, but he couldn't form a chord with his hands because he just couldn't do it. So I go, let me see that thing. So I was able to play the guitar, so he jumped on bass. So that's why I actually became a guitar player. I actually wanted to be, you know, Sid Vicious and cut myself up and play bass and look cool. But I wound up playing guitar. So actually a pro skater, Mike Smith, he was like infamous guy in the 80s and 90s. He had a band called Ape Rock, and I actually played bass on that. I don't know, it's almost like folk punk in a way. It's fun to do something at the space bar. Battery went dead.
Hello.
Lost
him. Ken.
Ken.
All right, so folk punk.
Your battery went
folk
dead.
Folk punk in a way.
Fuck. Hang on. I wonder if they're losing their minds in there right now.
No!
You're on speaker, jackass.
Well, where are we at?
They just
with
ruined
this,
the whole. Ken just ruined the whole recording line session.
Let's see. Fucking phone number I had for him.
Run out of juice.
So,
yeah, so he's
plugging
in right now, starting it up.
Okay, just click on that link that we sent you before, and it'll drop you right back in the room, and we'll just pick right back up. We're cool.
Okay, any problem, I'll give you a call.
No problem, we'll be sitting here doing bong hits.
Sounds good.
See you.
Okay. Later.
Probably have to log in a Roadrunner and all that shit again.
This is fucking this retarded fucking thing.
Yeah.
Why the fuck won't this thing open? Okay, here we go.
There they are.
Yep.
We're back.
Finally got you guys back on the line.
Technical difficulties.
Shoo! Hey, Bob, fuck it, man. How about some music?
You got it, Bobby. Check it out. This is a band from Virginia Beach. They're called The Record Collection. They're offering free downloads of their new single called Revelations. The track is set to appear on a 7-inch titled of the same name in September via Cointoss Records. The band released a Christmas-themed EP titled Merry Christmas, You Filthy Animal, last December via Death to False Hope. And you can stream the track right here on this very website, DyingScene.com. Here it is, it's The Record Collection, Revolutions on Dying Scene Radio.
Change, but no, you can't accept what they expect of you. No, you just can't give up and give a hand. kills me. But no, I won't accept what they expect of me. No, I won't just sit back and roll. If the south end means nothing, I don't plan on wasting it searching for gardens of stone. And I don't wanna feel that I'm losing it again. So tonight I feel like dancing on the edge. And I don't wanna think that it's all just in my head. Dancing on the edge.
What's up? This is Fletcher from Chaos Living Machine. I'm sitting here with
Justin from Chaos Living Machine.
Okay, here we go again.
What am I supposed to say?
Just say it more fluidly. Hey, what's up? This is Fletcher from Chaos Delivery Machine. And
this is Justin from Chaos Delivery Machine. Is that more fluid?
After I fucking say my sentence, then you say yours.
Okay.
Hey, what's up? This is Fletcher.
Hey, what's up? This is Justin.
We're really bad at drops, but you are listening to Dying Scene Radio. Turn this shit up, bitches.
Starts with a plan, an ambitious man. He makes a fire to burn out the cold. Does what he can to try to listen to my condition. A mirror sick reflection's going back. I want it now.
Los Angeles-based label's latest... Fuck, what am I saying? That was Emperors. They're a band that has just released a new compilation record. What the hell? I can't read my own writing. I'm an idiot. Anyway, Wiretap Records. They've just put out a 31-track sampler, including Emperors right there. Great stuff. That track was called Monarchs. Bobby, wake up over there. It's time to get these news stories out of the way and move on with this fine show.
That's right. You guys have been a pleasure. Thank you so much for giving us your time. Allow me to get through a couple more news stories, and then we'll just wrap it up. I thought this was interesting. Last August, the Queers announced they would be re-recording Beyond the Valley and Punk Rock Confidential because there was no other way to re-release the albums they put out on Hopeless Records. They have now made good on half of that promise, as a completely re-recorded Beyond the Valley has gone up for streaming and can be heard on DyingScene.com and Spotify, respectively. LPs are also available to be pre-ordered on the band's web store, thequeers.storemb.com. We'll keep you posted on more details on when that record comes to light. And the Queers are currently out on their summer tour with Screeching Weasel and the Mr. T Experience. All right, so I find that story kind of interesting. And please, those of you involved in the record industry, correct me if I'm wrong, but did they have to re-record those albums because they don't own the rights to those recordings due to the fact that they were produced by their previous record company? I just find that to be an interesting workaround. Fletcher, they
It happens a lot. I mean, record companies tend to own the masters on bands, meaning they actually own the master recording. So like when we get done with a record, Epitaph will come and grab it and they'll put it in a vault, lock it up, and they'll have actually the master reel. It's something a lot of labels would never give in on. These days, you know, you can negotiate into your contract. You want to own your masters. I mean, it's like the Wild West for negotiations now with all this digital shit going on. I'm figuring that someday there's going to be a class action lawsuit against all the labels in regards to digital. Things like Spotify and Pandora, all these bands, there was no language for that shit back in those days. There was no such thing as iTunes or, you know, Apple or any of that shit. So it's like a total gray area. So we're getting checks for like 100,000 plays of a song. I'm getting a check for like $2.22. It's insane. Like,
Are you serious?
Yeah, man. You even saw like Pharrell said something like his song was like Happy was the most played song ever in the history of fucking Pandora or whatever. And I think he got like $5,000 or something like that. It was like played like 190 million times or some shit. And it's just ridiculous. There is no recourse for bands anymore. And basically the labels are just licensing out to Pandora and Spotify. So they're getting their licensing fee, which is written into a contract as a licensing agreement. But there's no language for what our cut's going to be. So I see things changing. And nowadays you can negotiate to keep your masters. But a lot of bands you'll see going back in and re-recording because they can't get their masters, and the label wants a master sync fee. It's a fee to use the master. So I remember seeing Lemmy. I was in the studio with Lemmy and Motorhead. They were re-recording like Ace of Spades and a couple of their songs for Guitar Hero because Guitar Hero wanted them, but they were going to have to pay a shitload of money to Lemmy's label. Lemmy owns the song. Like, he wrote the song. The label owns the recording, technically. So bands can avoid that by going in and re-recording their record on their own dime in their own studio and having an actual new piece of tape that it's on. So you can go back and then you can sell it how you want without having to deal with the fucking label. So bands are getting smart, and you know, labels have been making way too much money for way too long and taking advantage of bands for way too long. I'm not talking about Epitaph or Fat or independent labels like that. They've always been open to all kinds of dealings. But yeah, bands have to get smart and figure their shit out and protect themselves. So it's good on them.
It seems like, yeah, definitely a one-sided business
venture.
Business model. Only serves the big guys.
Think about it. You're in a band. You work on an album for a year, right? Like, I mean, Justin worked on this fucking album for 10 years. Hey, quiet, dog. You work on an album, right? You write songs for 10 years. You go in. The record company gives you an advance, which is your money, technically. And you pay for your recording. You pay for all your rehearsal, you pay for your demos, you have to pay them back that money before you ever get paid dime one. So like at the end of the day, it's like you're basically paying a label in essence to put out your records.
Major labels are evil. I'll just come out and say it. Major labels, they're all evil. And they always have been. That's why they always fought so hard against the streaming even of music or all that stuff where they should have worked with it, you know, when that
Napster.
They were fighting all that stuff when they shouldn't have been fighting. They should have try to work with all that and work it together, but they wanted all, I don't know.
Steve Jobs had the right idea. It's called iTunes.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Let me bring this into it. I want to cover this next news story because it has to do with this. Forbes posted a video on their website this week taking a deep look at the industry's keeping vinyl sales alive. And they interviewed NoFX frontman, we talked about him before, Fat Mike, head honcho of Fat Records, Eric Mueller of Pirate Press, and Mark Weinstein of Amoeba Music on the topic. And some interesting statistics were covered within. Between 2013 and 2014, U.S. album sales dropped 11.2%. CD sales dropped 15%. Digital went down 9.4%. But vinyl sales rose by over 50%. So, guys, what is it about vinyl that keeps people buying? I mean, at least
that's kind
of
a trick statistic right there. Like, if you're selling 500 million digital sales a year, I mean, probably more like a billion digital sales a year, and it goes down by 11%, it went down, you know, 11%. But if vinyl only sold, you know, 200,000 vinyl pieces and it doubled 50, it only went up 200,000 records. So it's like vinyl's already a low selling item, but the fact that it is going up is super awesome because fuck digital. It sounds horrible. It got to a point like even Epitaph was arguing that digital is going to be great, like Napster is going to be great. I'm like, no, it's not, because people, they don't care. Kids have no respect for music nowadays, a lot of them. It's just like, it's so easy to get. It's so disposable. You just see a CD laying on the floor of a kid's car. It doesn't even have writing on it. It's got 15, 20 songs on it. And it doesn't really have any aesthetic value or any like tangible value. Now people are starting to miss, or kids are starting to get educated on, like, I can hold this in my hand. I can smell it. I can look at the lyric sheet. I can, while I'm playing my record in my bedroom every month or five times a week or whatever, I can hold the album cover in my hand, you know, and it's like it's a cool experience that we all had as kids, like examining every little nook and cranny, reading the lyric sheet, like all that kind of stuff. Like even Fat Mike commented, like, you know, your favorite record's got a scratch on it, and every time you play it, there's that scratch. Yeah, it's kind of the same thing.
I know.
Thanks for interjecting.
Okay. Well, I thought, you know, you're kind of taking over.
Yeah, okay. Well, he asked me the question, but you go ahead.
Well,
drop in.
Will there be any vinyl versions of Burn Motherfucker Burn released?
I made a specific point. We spent extra...
Speak up, I can't hear you.
We spent extra money putting vinyl together with the big poster, 2-foot by 3-foot poster on one side.
Otherwise known as 24 by 36 in the music industry.
Whatever. I'm not in the music industry. You are.
Who says 2-foot by 3-foot poster? Only this guy.
Awesome. It has less syllables.
24 by 36.
2 by 3.
2 by 4 you build houses with.
Yeah.
Yes, we did killer vinyl.
We actually did do killer vinyl and have...
10 ounce? What is it? How many ounces is it?
Yeah, we made extra thick vinyl.
180 gram. We got the record company guy back here in the corner, Hardline Entertainment. We haven't even talked about that. Hardline Entertainment put the record out there. They're sitting in the garage right here getting mildew. We had to move him yesterday out of his neighbor's parking spot, literally. But yeah, they're sitting in there getting ready for shipment. And yeah, vinyl's important. I mean, vinyl's real. Analog is real. That's where the best sounding shit ever came from. Digital is just a bunch of ones and zeros. Fuck digital. It's all about vinyl and
analog. It's compressing, you know, 16 to 64 tracks into one little tiny computer bit. And it just doesn't get the sonic quality that it should.
Whatever he just said was a complete fabrication of words. He doesn't even know what he's talking about, but it sounded pretty good.
Neil Young said it. I believe Neil Young. I like Neil Young.
64-bit.
Not bit. No, 64 tracks. All the tracks that they do.
And then
it's going into down.
And then what happens?
It was going down to some sort of computer bit, I said.
Yeah, a computer bit. Yeah, it goes down to one bit.
One little That's MP3 right. is nothing but a little
it's
tiny...
It's a bit. MP3 is one bit. Just for all you listeners that don't know... A bite. Yeah, vinyl, man. It's cool.
I got one more news story for everybody, all right? Just one more.
Man makes a transportable bong out of Pringles can.
Hell yeah, man. Now, that is a brilliant thing. If I could take away one thing out of the podcast show today, it's the Pringles can, man. That is so awesome.
Give it a shot. You won't be disappointed.
Here's my last news story, man. It's Against Me's Laura Jane Grace. She's been in the news quite a bit lately, and she was the latest guest of the WTF podcast with Marc Maron. And the link's up on Dying Scene. I heard the episode. Very interesting. I felt I'd mention this because Marin had actually never heard of Against Me before. Not until one of his listeners sent him their latest record, Transgender Dysphoria Blues, on vinyl. So Marin says he tries to read most of his fan mail, but the one thing he always opens is the vinyl. So Fletcher, what's your favorite piece of fan mail, man? Is it, and Justin, too. Is there anything that people send you guys that you just always have to open and you genuinely enjoy receiving?
I get a lot of letters from prison, from convicts. So I got to open those because they're always like, people that are doing time, they're always like very well spoken and they have a lot of time on their hands, so to speak. And they write these pretty eloquent letters of remorse. And we got a lot of Pennywise fans in prison. So get some pretty cool requests from cell block H here and there. So yeah, I always open the prison mail first.
I know that you would go out and play a prison show like Johnny Cash did.
Been trying to.
Available.
Totally been trying to play San Quentin, as a matter of fact. My other band members are probably not so keen on that idea, but I'm ready to roll on it. I actually have a connection to do it, so I'm not sure if the prison system will let us in once they read our lyrics, but maybe, you never know.
Here's crossing our fingers for you.
That's fucking awesome, man. That's some great insight. That's the one thing, you know, that you get that you really like reading.
Just got one the other day from my buddy that's doing 15 years. And wow. I got a couple texts. Like, people trip out because people text me or call me from prison because they're like, how do they have a cell phone in there? It's like, how the fuck do they have heroin and bitches in there? You get anything you want. So, yeah, there's a lot of people that, like, do time and, are, you know, Pennywise is pretty popular in the prison system for some weird reason. So it's always humorous to read their letters. At the same time, kind of sad at times. But, yeah, it's all good.
Hell, yeah. Bob?
Yes, sir.
You got anything else? I mean, you guys aren't playing Fest, right? No. Have you ever played Fest before?
Are you talking about Chaos the Living Machine? We've never played our bedroom before. We've never played that's before.
Right. That's right.
And Pennywise, I don't know where we're playing. I have no idea. I just get on the plane.
Yeah, you just get on the plane. I think you're playing Brazil soon or something.
On Sunday for a Danzig tour across America or whatever, like through the Midwest and Texas and up to Canada and back down. And that should be interesting. We kind of thought he was doing the Misfits thing with Doyle, but I guess that, I don't know if that's happening or not anymore. So we'll see. But yeah, we're doing that. We're doing Brazil. We're doing Australia and who knows what else is coming down the pipeline.
What does the future hold for Chaos Delivery Machine at this point, now that the record is officially out?
Just basically...
Talk to each other for about a year or two?
No, me and Jason will have fun this summer in my garage and play and see what happens and see if there's another album in us. I don't know about that, but in 10 years I'll be even older.
Did you just say that?
Yeah.
It's weird, you will.
I will be. I'll be 10 years older. In 10 years, I'll be 10 years older. Well, I was going to say my age, but I don't know if I want to say my age.
In 10 years, he will be a fucking senior citizen at Denny's.
No, 54, so whatever that makes.
Yeah.
Almost a senior citizen
at Denny's.
Basically,
we just want this album to come out and hope people like it and try to get in as many people's ears as possible. And
we're going to hire a couple of accountants to start counting our money and a couple bankers to make some wise investments for us and probably look at a couple of yachts. We can send you guys down to Monaco Grand Prix. We'll be maybe playing a little party down there, but we'll see.
That would be nice. We'll look for the invites. That would be awesome.
I'll have my Pringles can with me.
Yeah, you'll be set.
That's right.
Good to go. Bobby, you ready to wrap this thing up, man? Play one more track and say goodnight?
That's right, Bob. I am. Adios, fellas. Thank you so much for being on the show. We really do appreciate you guys.
Thanks
appreciate
for having
you
us.
So much.
Thanks. Burn, motherfucker, burn.
Bobby, we've got one more track here. It's from Assassinate the Scientist. We're going to close out the night in episode 23 with this track. It's called Bad Blood and Neighborhood Bars. They're from Gainesville, and they've released a new EP titled Let's Talk About Getting Fired. If you're into upbeat, rough around the edges, punk with gritty vocals and heavily distorted guitars, then you found the place. And you know what? Being from Gainesville, come Fest time this year, if you need a place to stay, I bet you with a contact email like DIYGainesville@gmail.com, I'm pretty sure that these guys know some folks in Gainesville. It's Assassinate the Scientist, Bad Blood and Neighborhood Bars on Dying Scene Radio.
Take off around here today, show your face. You don't think that you fucking stuff. You're listening to Dying Scene Radio.
Fuck Ben Weasel.
Motherfucker! Dying.